אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Shalom, Australia. The IDF thwarted a Hezbollah attack in the Hardov area on Monday afternoon, opening fire at a number of fighters who entered Israeli territory. No Israeli soldiers were injured. IDF spokesperson Hidai Silberman said at least some members of the Hezbollah cell fled back to Lebanon. The Hezbollah-affiliated Al-Mayadin news outlet reported that no Hezbollah fighters were killed during the failed attack. Though a tense calm returned to both sides of the border following the incident, and all security restrictions on Israeli civilians were quickly lifted, Silberman said the military considered the event to be ongoing, with the possibility of additional attacks. The military maintained its own roadblocks in the area, preventing IDF vehicles from travelling on certain highways along the border that were considered vulnerable to attacks from Lebanon. In the largest demonstration since the beginning of the anti-Netanyahu protest wave, thousands of demonstrators filled Jerusalem's Paris Square last night. Protesters were packed, in some places shoulder to shoulder, entirely filling the area barricaded off by the police for the protest. Hundreds of demonstrators also gathered at Charles Clough Park in Tel Aviv and outside Netanyahu's private home in Caesarea. Jerusalem demonstrators received permission from the High Court to march from Paris Square to the city centre and back. The court rejecting a petition demanding that the protests outside the Prime Minister's residence be moved to a different location. Hundreds of anti-government protesters also gathered on Friday for peaceful protests outside Netanyahu's residences in Jerusalem and Caesarea. Uniformed police and plainclothes officers closely monitored weekend demonstrations after several rallies earlier in the week devolved into violence. On Tuesday, a rally outside Public Security Minister Amir Ohana's house in Tel Aviv turned violent when far-right assailants were seen hitting demonstrators with glass bottles, clubs and chairs and spraying them with mace. 10 people were hospitalized, including 2 with stab wounds to their backs. 5 suspects were released to house arrest on Thursday. On Thursday night, police detained 16 far-right activists after participants in a rally by Betar Yerushalayim soccer fan club La Familia attacked journalists and others. Police managed to prevent the group from approaching and possibly assaulting anti-government protesters. The far-right counter-protesters chanted death to leftists, hurled rocks and assaulted journalists, breaking a camera. Last night, police arrested more far-right-wing activists, including 4 who attacked protesters in the south. At a highway junction in Ashkelon, a man in his 20s was arrested after cursing at and spitting on anti-Netanyahu demonstrators. Police also arrested 3 people for spraying water from their vehicle towards protesters at the Shah HaNegev junction. Tuesday's violence drew widespread condemnation, some blaming Netanyahu for inciting it by calling the anti-government protesters anarchists. Defence Minister Benny Gantz alleged that the attacks were the work of organised criminal gangs and said he'd work to ensure those behind the violence are punished. President Reuven Rivlin warned on Thursday against political violence, suggesting that it could turn deadly. He said, "Woe betide our democracy if brother takes up arms against brother." Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's son Yair will appear at the Jerusalem Magistrates Court today over a call on Twitter for his online followers to visit the homes of anti-government protest organisers, whose names and addresses he posted. He is charged with threatening harassment. Facebook said on Thursday that a comment calling for the murder of Prime Minister Netanyahu, which was shared a day earlier by Netanyahu as an example of alleged incitement against him by anti-government protesters, was posted by a fake profile. The comment included, "Only by force, dictators are removed only with a bullet to the head." The user who posted it shared at least 7 posts, many of them old, attacking Netanyahu in 10 minutes. Minutes afterwards, the profile's bio was updated twice in 2 minutes. The conclusion was reached that the profile was an avatar. It didn't have a profile picture or public friends list, and its URL has a different generic name. One of the only profiles that had liked the anti-Netanyahu posts was an equally suspicious account, which is friends with primarily Netanyahu supporters and has liked the pages of his son Yair, right-wing politician Bezalel Smotrich, and other right-wing pages. Police have launched a probe to find out who was behind the fake account. Israel currently has one of the highest number of new coronavirus infections per capita in the world. 1,193 coronavirus cases were recorded over Shabbat, bringing the number of infections since the start of the pandemic to 72,163. The death toll jumped to 523, with 11 more fatalities over Shabbat. Of the 26,542 active cases, 328 people are in a serious condition, with 95 on ventilators. 22,890 tests were performed yesterday. A Hebrew University report published on Thursday asserted that Israel has managed to gain control of the second wave of the coronavirus thanks to a recent stabilization in the number of seriously and moderately ill patients due to tougher government restrictions. According to the report, the death toll will climb by roughly 200 in the coming 3 weeks as a result of the high infection rate over the past month. Israel's newly appointed National Project Manager of Coronavirus, Professor Roni Gamzu, made his first public announcement on Tuesday night and promised the country that there would be no unnecessary restrictions on commercial or social life, but that extraordinary measures were required to bring down Israel's infection rate. Face masks are compulsory in all public spaces, and there are severe restrictions on social gatherings, entertainment, worship, and retail. A number of retailers violated weekend lockdown restrictions yesterday after a dispute between ministers over the timing of an expected easing of the regulations on Shabbat trading meant shops were still mandated to stay shut. On Friday, Professor Gamzu urged retailers to be patient, saying most of their demands were correct and justified. Two major mall operators opened their malls in full. Some stores placed shelves of pasta, coffee and other foodstuffs near the front of their stores, asserting that they were now selling items usually sold in groceries and therefore they were not breaching the restrictions. Businesses operating in violation of virus restrictions can face a fine of 5,000 shekels. The Shabbat closures affect the Arab sector disproportionately, with weekends accounting for 40% of their revenue. This weekend coincides with the start of the Muslim festival of Eid al-Adha, where many stores would expect to see increased turnout. Nearly 1,000 Jews visited the Temple Mount on Thursday to mark the fast day of Tisha B'Av, which mourns the destruction of the two Jewish temples that stood at the holy site. 10 people were detained by police and taken out of the compound after praying in defiance of the rules at the site. In a breakthrough in cancer research, scientists in a biomedical engineering lab at the Technion have accidentally discovered a new way to give an instant assessment of the likelihood of cancer patients developing potential life-threatening secondary tumours using a special gel. The method is described as more rapid, accurate and quantitative than pathology results and will prove life-saving. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.